Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals in one room at last have an hour to finally, together, while maintaining eye contact, crack a Jar Jar piece
movie?
Of fan fiction.
They're called
film.
Movies.
Piece of merchandise.
Piece of merchandise.
Three guys, a script, a room, and a pizza place. I'm Will Campos. I'm going first. I got that energy in. May the force be with you. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Matt Arnold. And you know what? Like, up until a few weeks ago, I wasn't comfortable saying Hollywood professional. But because of Max Fun Drive, I'm now technically paid for this. So thank you very much. This is Matt, newly minted Hollywood professional here.
Reborn from the ashes of his career. Like and a phoenix rising.
Like all good writers, I stopped writing until I got paid, and now I'm back to it. We can finish the script. Let's do it. This ain't on spec.
All right, so where are we with this?
Where are we?
What's
Will,
going
you said
on?
You had thoughts.
Look, my first thought was, I went and re-listened to the whole thing at double speed, which was very fun, by the way. I mean, there's nothing more fun than doing double speed on a podcast and then dropping back down to one speed, and everyone sounds super drunk
and slow. Am I even understandable at double speed?
Yeah, you're more understandable, weirdly.
Oh, okay.
It's like when you drive really fast over a series of bumps and it smooths the ride out.
Are you saying I'm a fucking F1 car of a narrator?
Yes, Matt.
You have to speed up in order for it to keep driving. You slow down and you lose control.
You take those corners so hard, your neck is whiplashing, but you're like, you have to go this fast in order for this to work.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Guys, I really like the script.
I was like,
oh, this fucking moves. It's fun. I'm interested to, we got to stick the landing now. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
But we're further along than I thought we were, too. Like, we're rounding into, the fifth act right now, I think.
Are you saying we're going to be the first under 2-hour Star Wars movie?
Whoa, maybe.
That'd be a good sell. Honestly, if they it wouldn't even matter.
The episode was an hour and 49 minutes, so that would be something of a miracle.
But 66 pages.
That's true. That's
I'm just
true.
Saying that it wouldn't even matter who was the director. They just said this next Star Wars movie is 90 minutes. I'd be like, fucking... Sign me up. Yeah, it's the best one.
I gotta say, at this point, I'm like pretty much checked out of all new Star Wars stuff.
Okay, so I'm pretty However, checked out on movies as a whole.
Well, but let me ask you this.
I'm baking
What
now.
Would be the title? Just a little warm up exercise. What would be the title that would get you back in? Like that you get you totally pumped. I'll go first.
Okay.
Star Wars. The Lightsaber King.
Shit.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You're there.
That was the perfect Star Wars title because I laughed because, that's so stupid. But I was like, I fucking want to watch that movie so hard.
If you told me there was a 90-minute Star Wars movie called The Lightsaber King, I would be camped out right now.
Are you kidding?
Who's
Dude,
the king?
I'm there.
How good is he at lightsabers?
How good do you have to be the fucking king of lightsabers, dude?
Like, and why is he not a Jedi?
Dude, there's so much there.
There's a lot.
So many questions in that title alone.
What if this next scene is just Darth Vader telling Jar Jar Binks the story of the Lightsaber King?
I'm listening to
Beowulf right now, and they do this all the time where they swerve into a wild tangent about some old ass king and his sword and what happened to that sword. And we could totally do that.
Oh man. You know what I love about that title is it puts me straight into the pulp fantasy world that I think Star Wars is best at. It's like Lightsaber King.
Yeah. That's something you'd come up with in a dream, It's like one of those ideas you'd be like, I had a dream. It was just a phrase, the Lightsaber King. Shit, that's really good.
You didn't have to ask us our names. You clearly have
runner
the right
up,
one.
Runner up. Yoda fucks.
I wouldn't watch that.
You got greedy, Freddy.
I got greedo.
You reached the top of the mountain and you tried to keep climbing and you fell
Yoda
down.
Yoda fucks the Lightsaber King.
Well, because that sets up the third in the series.
Okay, here we go. What?
Same. No, this I don't know. Yoda and the Lightsaber King.
Shit,
clearly.
We got to. We had a good joke.
So, Star Wars, the Lightsaber King, Star Wars 2, Yoda fucks, Book 2 of the Lightsaber King Chronicles, Star Wars 3.
The Jar Jar story. Here we are.
All right. Will, where are we? Bring us back.
All right.
Where are we in this Jar Jar movie?
Last we left, Jar Jar Binks, he had just lied his way through the Death Star. He just named the Death Star and was told that he needed to announce. Basically, they were going to do this false flag operation that they were going to blow up the city of New Centrif using the proto Death Star laser and blame it on the Rebel Alliance and wipe out the rebels and yada, yada, yada. And then Jar Jar's like, shit, what do I do? Qui-Gon Jinn is like, wait, this is perfect. What we're going to do is plant a little chip at the, sort of rebel base. So when they blow it up and they find it among the bodies, it's going to seem like it's like all of the Emperor's own inner sanctum, his own council, all of his own supporters are really plotting against him. And then he'll kill them all.
Yeah.
And then Jar Jar's wrestling with the idea of sacrificing one city to save the galaxy. And then Jar
maybe slow down or even stop the Emperor's you know, domination before it really has a chance to
start. Yeah, that's the plan. And so basically Jar Jar was supposed to get ready to make a speech denouncing this attack after it happens.
Yes.
Jar Jar decides to preempt that by announcing that they were going to execute Croquet Seal at the city of New Centrum.
Poor old mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Bad news. Like, Jar Jar, we haven't even started this yet.
He's made this announcement that they're going to execute Croquet and that the Emperor is going to be there. And then essentially what we were saying is that Jar Jar's, because now we have to deal with, like, we have to explain why he did that, essentially, is the next scene. Because the last scene was the Emperor seeing this press conference happen and then flipping out.
Explain why somebody did something is my favorite sort of movie scene.
Yes, can't wait. Can't wait to figure that out. Among the ideas we had, so basically our end game right now is that the overall structure of this thing is Jar Jar is going to try to stop this disaster from happening onto the city of New Central.
Okay.
He's going to stop the laser from going off. And in the process of doing that, he's going to blow his cover with Darth Vader, and then Darth Vader is going to kill him in the middle of Jar Jar seemingly trying to escape or something like that. But then we realize that Jar Jar has outplayed Darth Vader in his outstretched hand. As he dies, he opens his hand up, and we see that list.
Yes.
And then Darth Vader, Jar Jar basically uses his own death instead of the death of thousands to sell to Darth Vader the idea that this list is real. And then our end is basically a Godfather-style montage of all these senators getting whacked while Jar Jar's statue is getting pulled down.
Everybody hates Jar Jar.
Because everyone still hates Jar Jar.
Again, the one thing a bad guy can't like comprehend is somebody making such a willing sacrifice.
Yeah,
like,
not torching not only his life, but his reputation.
That's pretty fucking good, man. Can we just say we wrote it?
That's it. That's the end of the movie. You guys can imagine
just
it,
coast off these good feelings right
these
now, guys.
Vibes.
Will was just talking about this new translation of Beowulf that if you haven't read, you all should. But now I've decided my new. I always have this thing of like, if I got $1 billion, what's the movie I would make? That's for nobody but me. It is now I would essentially remake. I would do the same thing as Zemeckis did with Beowulf, but it would just be all Gungans. I would just do a complete Gungan, like literal translation, not change it at all. Just the names and the fact that everybody's a Gungan. Can you imagine that? Just like, bro, like Gungan, like underwater cities talking about other Gungan kings.
For real, though, this is why billionaires are trash.
Yeah, because they
like, nobody
cool like
has done this shit.
Okay, one last tangent. As stupid as that fucking thing was, you know who knew what they were doing? Who was that Chinese billionaire that was like, I'm going to put myself in a commercial? I'm going to put myself in a commercial with all my favorite movie stars.
He made a movie where he's a martial arts expert that kicks like Jackie Chan's ass. Yes. He paid Jackie Chan $1 zillion.
I'm not saying I like it, but I respect it.
Jack Ma, the only billionaire that I can be like, all right, okay. He was like, Tai Chi's the best martial art, and I'm going to prove it by making a movie, funding a movie where I kick Jet Li, Sammo Hung, and Jackie Chan's ass with my Tai Chi. And you're like, this seems like a like, imagine if Bill Gates, imagine if like Bezos just like rolled in and did a kung fu movie and just put it out on YouTube. And
no,
I was like,
it'd be like if Jeff Bezos was like, hey, I did a 40-minute John Wick 4 where I killed John Wick and then beat up Jason Statham and beat the Fast and the Furious crew. And then I drive off to my Amazon headquarters.
Yes.
And that's the end of
that
my
is
movie.
The equivalent of what I happened made. Here. Yes, that is absolutely what happened here.
Anyways, okay.
Anyway, yeah, basically, here's where we're at. So the wheels are turning. It is unfortunately a scene where we need to explain why Jar Jar did this. The conflict now is clearly like making this move has preempted what's going to happen with, and it's going against the plan. And kind of our thought was that Jar Jar, essentially one of the ways he could sell this to the Emperor and to Darth Vader would be to say like, you can't just have a bomb go off and then blame it on the rebels. You need to build the narrative, right? Because the idea is like by doing this, like, and then the bomb is going to go off before this execution happens, that they can blame it and be like the rebels made, you know, attacked this execution in protest, you know, to protest the execution.
Remember, everybody loved me. That's why I'm the face. And like, let's be honest, you two, like, and he turns around, looks, makes him look in the mirror. It's like, you two look a little scary. Like, let's be honest. And you did just look, we all agree it was great that he became emperor, but like, we just got off of making everybody believe that he did this for good reasons. I think they'll, you know, you look a little spooky, you look a little scarred, you got that whole cloak thing, you got like this machine man next to you, and now like a whole city's gonna blow up like in a month. Like, some people are gonna like,
maybe, okay, so maybe this is then a scene for, here's an example of a scene of someone having to explain something that was one of my favorite movie scenes of all time, which is Jamie Foxx in Collateral when he loses Tom Cruise's briefcase and he has to go into the club where the fucking guy who hired Tom Cruise, this drug lord who hired Tom Cruise to kill a bunch of people, Tom Cruise makes him go in, pretend to be him and explain why he needs a new hit list.
And then
so basically he's terrified. He goes in there. The guy tells this great story and is like fucking is about to kill him for losing this list. And then he goes like full Tom Cruise and turns into a badass and manages to bullshit his way out of the scene. And like, I wonder if for here, like there is something like that, that Jar Jar essentially has to outdo them at their own thing. He needs to make them think he's smarter than him for this to work.
It feels like you want to throw Jar Jar in like seat of his pants, right? Because if he has time to prepare for it, I don't know if it works.
Yeah, you're right. It's tough because it's like this.
He's already kind of prepared because
he's already a little. Yes, he is already.
Because he chose to do this and he's made the speech. Like he knows he's obviously getting asked about it.
What beyond just him explaining what's going on? Like, what are you moving forward in the next scene? What is the complication that arises? I don't think you can just do a scene of like he yells at them and they're like, okay, good.
Good job.
Good job. We believe you now. Then it's like, why the fuck have that scene?
Easy, wow, good job. It's such a good job. Now blank. Now oh, shit, now I'm in deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Well, so real quick, just to clarify, what is his plan right now in this moment?
That's another thing we need to kind of figure out. So among the things we were kicking around, one was that it's getting complicated. There's a couple levels to this. There's like how he's going to explain this to the Emperor. There's also kind of how is he going to explain this to Qui-Gon, who he's also planning to go rogue on, right? Because he's trying to stop this from happening.
He just needs to buy time because if he doesn't do something, they're going to literally blow up.
What's the worst case scenario if you betray a ghost?
That's true.
They haunt you hard. Like you're pooping, and then it's just like, oh, I'm in the right here.
We have shown that Qui-Gon can fucking kill people, so. Yeah. Let's drill down on what Jar Jar actually is planning, right? Because that's, I think if you can establish that, then at least you've got the baseline.
Yeah.
So,
because then you can, then you know what to throw a wrench into.
Yes.
Right now we're looking at this Jar Jar machine and it's so well oiled. We need to find the...
Well, no, again, he says Misa need more time. Like that is, he is panicked. So he like, he does...
When does he say that?
It's literally right before he says, I hate to be a bother, but we have to hurry if we want to catch that shuttle to Centrif. Like, they're going to do it. And then he's like, Arg, Misa need more time. And Aid, if only I could have more time. He's like, Misa need more time. And then that's why he does the speech.
Oh, to stall. Okay.
Yes, to stall. He is stalling is why he makes this speech. Like, they are going to essentially, they're literally like, hey, go make this speech so we can blow this place up. So, like, now they can't just blow it up tomorrow. So, like, he's put them in a tight spot and that he's delayed. He has delayed their plans. They literally, so we do have to answer that question. Like, literally, this is what happened. They're like, all right, new member of the team, like, we're going to blow up a planet tomorrow. He's like, that sounds great. And then he went on live TV, was like, hey, everybody, we're going to blow up a planet in a week and we're having a big party about it. So they're also like, hey, buddy, like, welcome to the team. What the fuck did you just do? How do you make that interesting?
Okay,
though?
So at the very least, it feels like you start there, right? You start with him being like, I don't know what I'm doing, right? Like, I don't know if you can thread this needle, but it feels like you would do that then. In the act of bullshitting his way out of this, he comes up with the idea for what he's going to do. He basically has to do a story break where he has to come up with... He gets his two best buds and he sits down. All right, putting that aside for a second, what... Because this also kind of defines our endgame a little bit.
Yeah.
Because essentially, whatever he comes up with here is going to then be the action that is then happening.
Yes.
Right?
And his ultimate plan is not to kill himself. That is the end up... That is the final thing he has to do when the plan goes wrong. So his plan before then is he's going to delay, and then what he ends up coming up with is, did we solve that?
No, I don't think we did. And so, but here's just to put something out there that might knock an idea loose. We have this proto laser, right? And like, again, I am a staunch believer that when you put a proto laser, something has to blow up.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? We're not going to blow up the city. So it seems like the other obvious thing to blow up is the proto laser, right?
Yeah.
The classic, why reverse the polarity and it blew itself up kind
classic
of move.
Turn the battleship guns in on itself and
exactly.
blow up its own ship.
So like that could be his plan or
something. Was this just a fever dream in Rise of Skywalker? Do they have a fight on a ship? With
they do.
With like horses and stuff,
yes,
and they turn.
Do. Yes, they do.
God, that movie fucking sucked. What a fucking weird. Anyways, keep going. That's a fever dream of a movie. That happened, right?
Yes, it happened. Yeah,
and Rose is there for some reason.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm
big,
here too.
They have a big cavalry
contractually,
charge
I have
on
to
the
be
side
here
of,
at some
I
point.
Don't know. As far as a Star Wars idea, a cavalry charge on the side of a
it's
fucking
a cool
Star
idea.
Pretty cool.
Just not really
Anyways, you know where it lost me was the horses.
Nah, it's cool.
It was a hat on a hat?
It was a hat on a hat. It was a horse on a Death Star.
It was a horse on a hat.
Anyways.
Where is this big laser? What is this fucking thing? Oh, go ahead.
This isn't the answer, but maybe this is the energy just to like throw us. Maybe this is like the feeling of the next scene. Mm-hmm. Like you're thinking like, ooh, it's going to be, he gets called in and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, pfft. He like throws a cigarette. He's like, blah, 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 motherfuckers. This is, I'm cool. I'm like, oh shit, Jar Jar's legit. Or is the next scene, they're like, fucking temple door opens. Qui-Gon, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, is it that? Is it like, he's fine, he got time. But I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I fucking delayed it. They're going to be like, what? You delayed it, you idiot. We said we need to sacrifice those people. He's like, yeah, but I couldn't let it happen. And now they're going to know that I'm in trouble and you're mad at me. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I just delay time and now there's some time, so help me. He's like, I can't help you, Jar Jar. You already fucked this whole thing up. Like, is that like the feeling of, is that
what
like
if
the
you
Jar
throw
Jar?
This?
I like that though, Pat.
Is there a world... Let me ask you this. Does Qui-Gon as a ghost stay with us to the end of the movie?
Or does he get killed in the next
or
scene?
Or like something, you know what I'm saying? Like, can something happen as a further, oh shit. Just something to maybe keep in the back pocket of just be like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Infernal Affairs, his best bud gets, you know, killed.
Yes.
Like, is there a world where Qui-Gon...
We definitely have okay, so does Jar Jar going to cry to Qui-Gon?
And does Qui-Gon get slain by the king of lightsabers?
Shit. Because now I do want to just be a Infernal Affairs. I don't know how it gets there. Maybe
he
missed
the
scene.
Off
I want him to
car.
Go crying. How about this? How about he calls Qui-Gon on the ghost phone?
And
he's like, Qui-Gon, I don't know what to do. He's like, meet me on the fucking tower or whatever. And then as he's walking to the tower, yes, Qui-Gon's ghost falls and smashes the car in front of him. And he looks up. He sees Darth Vader at the top of the building. And it's like, oh shit, Qui-Gon's dead. And Darth Vader knows what's up or something.
Darth Vader probably can't kill Qui-Gon because there's some stuff with Darth Vader and ghosts later on.
What do you mean?
Like, he, like, pokes at Obi-Wan, and he's like, ah, dang.
But that could have just been him being like, damn it, he did the old Qui-Gon out.
Yeah, that's a dub. That's going to be a dub in the remake.
Just put that
remake.
In Special Edition Part 2, you just have him go, just like Qui-Gon. You know what I mean?
Because, okay, the only other thing, I don't really know how this works, is just, is like, what's the, it's like, it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. I was like, this sounds like what a spy movie would do, would be like, somehow you get to the thing where, yes, Jar Jar delayed it, Qui-Gon gets killed, Darth Vader is like, I know you're lying, Jar Jar, but I can't expose that you're the mole, because at this point... And the Emperor would kill me also. So like, I know you're bad. I know
deep.
You're a mole. You got to do as I say. If you expose, he's like, well, if you fucking touch me, I'm going to expose myself. If you touch me, I'm going to expose myself.
Finally, we got a movie.
So, okay. So really quick, that is a real dynamic. So I was reading this book called Agent Zigzag.
Just another movie you just made up. Yeah. The Lightsaber King 2, Agent Zigzag.
Agent Zigzag. No, this was a German-British double agent in the war. And one of the things that, you know, the book points out is that the Abwehr, the German secret service, had a really, really bad system where spy masters were individuals who handled their spies. So their reputation was tied in with the success of their spies, which means they were incentivized to lie about their spies, because if their spies did bad, they did bad. They could be right. Like, so there are a lot of situations where the spy master would be like, I know this person's actually working for the British, but I can't say that because that makes me look bad in this system. So
yeah,
that dynamic could work.
If Darth Vader was like, yo, yeah, my life stakes on it. Jar Jar is legit. Let's bring him into the inner circle. And then it's like the next hour he has to go to the Emperor. He's like, my bad. I brought in a mole. The Emperor might be like, yo, you're fucking useless to me. I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, it's like a valid danger. So I'm just trying to, like, is there a way? Because bear with me, because it would be like, if we wanted to get to Qui-Gon dying, it would be like Darth Vader is like, yo, like, I got you. I know you're a fucking spy. I can't believe this. Like, I thought, you know, I thought I had you. And then he's like, Jar Jar, to get out of it, like, essentially, you know, tries to play the, like, I'm just twisted. Like, I'm just trying to do the right thing. I don't want these people to die. And, like, Qui-Gon's helping me or whatnot. Like, can we, like, figure this out, Darth Vader? I know you're still in there, Annie, or whatever. And then finally Darth Vader plays his sympathies. He's like, you're right. Annie still isn't here. Like, you say, you know, if only I had a mentor. And then that's what gets... He reveals Qui-Gon. I don't know, it's just like spitting. This isn't the movie we're making. Finger Taylor.
To throw this a completely different direction for a second. Yeah. Is there a world where he does convince them and then the consequence is like, okay, you have to execute Croquet now, right? Like the...
Oh, like a by your hand, you gotta do it.
Well, okay, so I'm just trying to, again, so it's like we have the previous scene and maybe we can kerjigger around a little bit. Like we can do a little slight edit on what Jar Jar says in his speech. We can fudge that a little bit to set us up better if we think there's something better. But so right now it's like, he's like, we're gonna execute Croquet in 3 days. And then yes, the thought was his explanation for this, which we have kind of figured out, is that this is basically the narrative for why you got to prime the pump. This is the narrative for why there's an attack by the rebels. It's not just that the rebels are crazy.
At some point, he goes like, it's an old Gungan story about blank. And he's just making it all up, you know what I'm saying? But what are they going to do? They don't know Gungan,
they don't know Gungan shit.
Folk tales.
I'm saying we need some action, but like, it's a Star Wars movie. Maybe we just need a little scene here. Maybe we just need some action. What if the complications are, yes, they convince him, like, great, fine. Like, oh, we understand. Sure. Maybe at the end of the day, the delay of a week is going to make this like a bigger thing and people will buy it more. And you're right. Congratulations, Jar Jar. You made like what was supposed to be just like a test thing. You're making into the Super Bowl. It's a VGHS N64 tournament sort of situation.
He's up the stakes.
So like, fine. Good job. But we still need everybody in that town and we need to kill everybody. I'm just like, do they, again, a complication would be like, fine, now we need you, since we trust you, we need you to go work with Croquet, like, and Croquet needs to trust you, so you need to break Croquet out of prison and escape. And it's like, in order for it to be real, like, there's no help, like, once you fucking break out of here, like, I don't know.
Feels like very complicated.
Okay, not to bullshit our way out of this.
Oh, I mean, that's my favorite way.
But is there a world, again, I keep coming back to Age of Shadows as the kind of tone reference for this, the South Korean movie. And like, they do his plot at the end, but they keep you at arm's distance a little bit with what he has planned.
Yeah.
Is there a world where we do this heist style and Jar Jar has already figured out the plan, but we, like the audience, are left to wonder what that plan is? So like, you are, do you know what I mean? Like, is there a world where like it kind of all...
No, we can, but we need to know the plan.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is maybe we can fake our way through it. Just pull
a couple of weeks and then we can figure it out.
Yeah, and then we just do like, that was my plan all along.
To go back to like the only thing that got a response from you, Will, is, okay, let's just say Jar Jar is in over his head, because that's also like his defining, in terms of a character, that's his defining thing. So him going and crying to like... They're like, bring me Jar Jar. Like, that's the emperor. They're like, sir, we can't find him. It's like, where's Jar Jar? And Jar Jar is crying at the temple. Like, I don't know what to do, Qui-Gon. I delayed it. They're going to blow it up. And Qui-Gon's annoyed. He's like, the one thing you had to do was let this happen so that we could get the fucking things there. He's like, I can't let them die. I delayed it. You have to help me. You got to find, like, what can we do with this bot time sort of thing. Like, that feels like the... And then you can let Qui-Gon be the complication, even. Like, Qui-Gon... Or, again, like, even Jar Jar coming to Qui-Gon lets Vader find out about it, you know.
Walk me through that again.
Post this scene, he's like, again, Jar Jar's like, okay, cool, I did this cool thing. Instead of going to just him instantly explaining it to the Emperor, it cuts to, you know, he's ran into the temple and he's crying to Qui-Gon, explaining what he's done and being like, I bought myself time, but now I don't know what to do. Like, they're looking for me. I just delayed the Emperor's plan. I bought myself time, but I still don't understand the answer. And Qui-Gon's like, yeah, because there is no answer, buddy. Like, I told you in the first place, they're going to blow up that village. There's two options. They either blow it up or fucking make something out of it. So what do you want to do? And then, like, I don't know. It just feels like tonally, is it like Jar Jar feeling like he made a mistake? And then
it just feels like a circle. Like, it feels like we just had that scene with Qui-Gon. Yeah. You know what I mean? So again, I'm cluing in on like that. I really like the moment with Nate 38 before this, where he's wrestling directly with this dilemma. He asks her, is it okay to do something bad, to do something good? Yes. And then she's like, I don't know. You know, 68% of the populace thinks that it ends justify the means. Okay, I can't tell you, most people say what they like about you is that you do what you think is right. And he's like, oh my God, you're right. Yeah. And then he does this thing the next day. So it does kind of feel like he has something figured out.
Yes. You're right. Okay. So they would have to call in Jar Jar, be like, what happened?
Yeah. I mean,
so
alternately, just to kind of give a little more va-va-voom, Jar Jar's like, how'd that go? And then bam, he's getting force choked immediately. Vader's right there. Vader's just going to kill him right away. You know?
Yeah, sure. I think that adds, I mean, something like that, whatever version of it is, I think that's the insinuation and that's the pressure is like he's going to get
Vader's choking them out.
Yeah.
But yes, what is his, I mean, again, is it just, you know what it is? I get what his explanation to them is. I do wonder how much you need to know of his plan, or at least like,
I think you need to know whether he has one or not.
Yes.
And like, you know, be like, if you were going to do like that, you know, again, this is what I'm like, the bullshit thing to do would be like, because now there's this question, what's his plan, right? And then you would do, he has his bullshit that he feeds them, right? And then they leave. And then he's like, he looks at like, you know, a screwdriver and he's like, it's going to work.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you're so, like, what the fuck is he going to do with that screwdriver?
To narrow down this scene, I don't think it matters if we know yet what he's going to do, because this next scene's not about that. And I think it more or less is he has to, yes, he has to explain why he's doing it. And it's not just a boring scene because he's not explaining what he's done. It's not a scene about explaining what he's done. He is essentially explaining, we are seeing.
Yeah, we're seeing the reasoning.
We're seeing not just the reason. No, we're seeing how he's selling it to his.
Yeah.
To his enemies. It is right. It's a battle. Like this is clever. Theoretically, like it's clever. It's like, okay, this is how he's convincing them. What we need for this scene to be a scene is, yes, what is the complication at the end of it? Like that we can work. Like it has to. And like by the end, by the way, like whatever that complication is, you could end it with like Jar Jar being like, excellent. Or Jar Jar be like, oh, I didn't expect that. I'm fine with either way. But like what?
So okay,
what happens?
Then it also feels like we could cut to Jar Jar at the press conference. Right. Yeah. And he gets off stage. And then you see him set up whatever the next spot of his plan is, mm-hmm. right? Because if you were going to do like, he turns to Nate 38 and says, meet me here in 30 minutes and hurry. The fate of the universe hangs in the balance, right? If we don't, if we're not both there in 30 minutes, all is for naught. And then Nate 38 is like, I'm on it. And then he's like, whew, and he's like, you know, like he's going to try to sneak out. Like you would then do like, he sees the emperor rounding the corner. He's like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And then like he ducks around the corner the other way and bumps into Darth Vader. And then Darth Vader fucking slams them against the wall and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, okay, I don't know exactly what's going on. I know that he needs to get out of here.
That's an option. The only other thing I can think of is, depending on the way you do, you can also literally do, we see this press conference and then you come out of the press conference and Jar Jar is sitting there in the room and like you are pretty much already, you are just there with them and like you want to fucking explain yourself and you're kind of like just getting straight to it.
What I like about doing that moment is it allows you to set attention beneath that, right? Like that you're like, okay, we see that Jar Jar's got something going on. Do you know what I mean? So then we also understand, we don't necessarily understand what it is that he's doing, but when he's convincing them, we understand the stakes are related to his deeper plan, if that makes sense. I feel like you need, as opposed to just cutting to him getting yelled at, I don't know, like, I'm like, okay, are they going to buy it? But I don't even know what he's trying to do, really, or that he's trying to do something.
It'd be more like, does that scene end with you seeing, like, yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm just, yeah, I'm trying to feel it out.
I'm trying to remember the original break here. Wasn't there something about, like, executing, like, a bunch of the, like, war...
In the first version, it was going to be that the end of the movie was going to revolve around these people being executed.
Like, that seems, is that enough of a, oh shit, right? I mean, is it like, okay, different. Fine, you're not doing Croquet, you're doing Croquet and the rest of, you know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
they're already blowing up a village. Them killing a whole Gungan village is them killing.
But in terms of for
veterans.
Him, that's his reputation, though. It's like, you're, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
to
but
be
he's already announced
it.
That he's going to murder this person, and it's an unpopular decision. Mm. I see what you mean. If you were going to do that, we see that Jar Jar's got something going on, right? And he needs to, like, be there right away. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hear me out. He's like, I need to go to, you know, the parking garage, you know, right after this speech to set up the next part of my plan. He's meeting someone there. And the person's like, come alone or don't fucking come at all, you know, or whatever, right? He bumps into Darth Vader and the Emperor. He gets bullshitted or whatever. And then we see now he's on his way to go do that, but Darth Vader is following him. Or Darth Vader's like, I'm coming with you. I need to protect you at all costs right now or something like that because Darth Vader's suspicious. And now it's like, shit, I've got Vader on my ass. Something like that?
We're dumb. We have an answer in terms of the complication. I don't know why. Because actually it's clever because both Qui-Gon gives him the answer. Mm-hmm. They're just going to, they're like, hey, Croquet and these people are bad guys. We're going to blow them up, right? And then they're like, cool, go announce it. And then Jar Jar changes it. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, sorry, moments before I stepped on, you guys want to blow it up? I just found out that that city has information about, again, literally what Qui-Gon wanted to place there. Like, why are you going to blow up that city? Like, that is the network. We can literally find every insurgent planet if you let me go in there and work with Croquet and fucking figure out all the data they have, and then we blow it up. Like, why are you guys going to blow up your fucking data mine right now? Like, interesting. You idiots, we almost just blew up, like, the best possible resource we have for finding all the insurgents across the galaxy. Again, Qui-Gon literally wanted to put a map of, like, all the insurgents, like, fake insurgents to get them to go after it. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan's, like, so they're about to blow up this city, and he's like, guys, instead of blowing it up, give me a week. Let me fucking go be a Gungan and go talk to everybody and I'll fucking find you all the senators that disagree with you and you can fucking go execute them. Again, he promises them their own That's his plan for them. And that gives him the ability to, he's buying some time. He wants to go work with Croak and he's going to set up a rebellion.
Yes.
To take them down at the execution.
And then that's what goes
wrong. What goes wrong.
They
and
all
then
get killed by Darth Vader.
Yes.
And then they all die thinking that
he needs to be a double agent. So you need to let him. And then he's got to convince Croak that he's really on their side and he's going to build this rebellion.
He's Qui-Gon that this is a better way of doing
it.
Okay. I like that a lot. And then you don't need any of this. Not any of this. Like, you're not playing a shell game with the audience.
Yeah. It's just clear.
Because you see him. Okay, you know what's good too is then you can also do a thing where he steals maybe, or again, like the piece of information he brings to the rebels is the location of this proto laser, right? Because that's what he's like, I'm going to go, I'm with Croquet, I'm going to bust her out. We're going to go blow up the proto laser.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or we're going to hijack it and blow up the Emperor's, you know, personal, you know,
personal watercraft.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like he's got some fucking, so he's got this next level plan.
Yes.
And then it all goes to shit.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. And then it is like, I like that he goes like, Qui-Gon.
Genius.
He's like, Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon's like, what the fuck? He's like, what do you mean? You gave me the plan. It's just, I decide to do your plan and not kill everybody. I'm going to go give them fake.
And he's like, isn't that like kind of the point of the light side, Qui-Gon? And he's like, damn, you got me.
And then all the Empire feel stupid. They're like, I mean, we test the laser. But what else do we get? We don't get much. Like, yeah, Jar Jar's great. Jar Jar's going to find us like,
there's
like 20 secret senators. That's great. What were we thinking?
So Jar Jar, how does he?
Oh yeah, you know what? It's, by the way, the two speeches. He's like to Qui-Gon. He's like, isn't that what the light side's all about? And then to Darth Vader, he's like, isn't that what the dark side is all about? Like, you know what I'm saying? He's like, I'm the authority on the Force.
I think his next step
that's kind
is
of fun.
He's got to go do. They're not going to
know too much about the Force, but I may be just a simple country guy.
They're not going to release Croquet because that's too much of a problem because it's not like you don't want the news to be like Croquet. He's like, he's going to have to go into the cell with Croquet and like, you know, play as like, all right, let me turn off the cameras. Hey, buddy, like, I'm actually here to help you. Like, give me information. But he's like, I actually am, by the way. I am actually here to help you. I'm playing that I'm here to help you. Like, I'm trying to set this up. Like, who do I talk to in the village? And Croquet's like, how am I supposed to trust you? Like, I'm going to tell you where they are. You just already sacrificed. Like, please trust me. And you have to have him have a speech, like, and somehow convince Croquet.
That's fun.
And then you get that scene where he's got to, like, sneak into the thing and, like, into the, and all the Gungans are there. They're all pointing their guns at him. It's like, fuck you. Like, you're a traitor. He's like, no, I'm here to help you.
And then
Darth Vader's like watching from afar. He's like, is he really on our side? Is he on somebody else's side?
He's got to play both sides against the middle.
Yes.
And so it's like he has to convince the Empire to let him bust out Croquet, convince Croquet to let him bust her out, you know, steal the plans for the actual laser so they can blow it up, convince the rebels to blow it up, and, you know, and then, you know,
save everybody. And then it's funny, actually, because Darth Vader essentially becomes like his Qui-Gon because he's got to do like nightly checkups with Darth Vader. He's like, so what have you learned so far in the village?
He's
got to give them something. He's like, it's been 2 days and he even found anything. Like, this is a waste of time. We should just blow up that village. It's like, no, there's something there. He's like, we got to give him something. Otherwise, he's going to think there's nothing going on.
Okay. So the only thing is, he can't, like, it's because immediately I was like, it feels like you would want him to hold up the data chip that Qui-Gon gave him and be like, I found this chip, like, it's encoded, but blah 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 blah, like, it's cinematically, you're like, oh, what's he doing? He's doing something different than what Qui-Gon wanted. But I there's also like, I don't feel like you can play that chip until the end.
No, absolutely not. I think you need to do is Nate on his side.
Nate's, I mean, again, we, I don't know, but sure, let
it would be he's fabricated. Like, he gets the idea from Qui-Gon. Yeah, he's not going to give them the fake thing because that's what he's promising that he can find there. He has a fake transmission, you know, and honestly, in a perfect world, we would have planted, like, something that, like, Qui-Gon or Croquet gave him. But he's like, look, like, I was about to make the announcement, and then I fucking realized, like, you know, I'm seeing whatever. Like, look, I got the phone records, and, like, they're sending it to, like, these planets, but I can't figure out what the planets are. Like, this is your fucking rebellion. Like, I can literally tell you where all the rebels are if you let me fucking go investigate this town and get close to them and figure out who they're talking to. Like, you want to know if Organ is on your side or not? I can tell you.
Yes.
Like, sort of thing.
What does he have and how does he convince them he has it? Because this is also your, however he does this is like your clue that like, we're playing with a new Jar Jar now, right?
Yeah.
Like the...
He threw it on Nate 38.
Qui-Gon essentially gave him the idea. Like, Qui-Gon's like, here's the idea. The idea is they're going to fucking find all the rebels, but they're gonna be fake rebels. He's like, okay, why don't I just promise them I'll find all the rebels and at least I can buy some time, and that's gonna give me time to fucking set up a rebellion with all these Gungan warriors.
The easy way to do this is that you say it's like a Gungan city and there's some Gungan thing, right? There's like, oh yeah, all every Gungan so-and-so has the data orb or whatever, and you know.
I wonder if there's a way, because you got me thinking about Nate 38, if you were to, like, I don't know, it's like they all come in and then they're like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like there's been a new development, gentlemen. Like, there's you don't understand. We have a spy in our midst. And they're like, what the fuck? And then Jar Jar grabs a gun and blasts Nate 38 with it.
Yes.
And then Nate 38 fucking falls over and, like, her shell pops open and they're like, he pulls a chip out and is like, you know, whatever, right? And then
it's going to that village.
Oh, yeah, it's a beacon ship.
Yes, we traced it to the village. That village is not just Gungan resistance. It's not just, you know, people with weapons are blowing the transport. This is the fucking beginning of the rebellion.
Yes.
Like, and you know, from what we gathered from this robot, should I shouldn't destroy, whatever. It's like, we have this stuff. And by the way, if you want to make people like Jar Jar, is that then you could do, like, he goes back to his room and, like, Nate 38 is still there and is like a decoy.
Yeah,
like,
a decoy.
All right,
yeah,
buddy, you got this?
Yeah, yeah.
Nate 38 like, yeah,
Nate 39. Yeah.
I never liked Nate 37.
Wait, you're Nate 37? Yeah.
Oh,
man, I meant
fuck.
To kill you instead of Nate 38. He's like, oh, it's okay. We're pretty much the exact same brain. Yeah, but sentimentally, like, I really was attached to Nate 38. Regardless, you can feel morally good about yourself. You killed one of us, but not the others. Like,
that he recovers Nate 38's brain chip and then puts it in a new body that's silver. And then she goes, Nate 38 is dead. I am Nate Silver.
Oh, boy.
Oh, again, my favorite image of this is definitely Darth Vader looking at Qui-Gon talking to nobody on the tower. Like,
we need to put that back in the script, by the way, because that's not in the script right now.
I know. I say, that's not until Darth Vader, like, suspects him. Mm-hmm. The other thing you do is, like, actually, I think that should tip him off. You should have him go back to the moment he shoots Nate 38, and then he realizes that was just a shell. Like, again, Jar Jar wouldn't shoot any sentient droid. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes, like, that Nate 38 never spoke. And it's a subtle thing you could do. In fact, he's literally just dragging him by a string or something. So he just, like, rolls up, and then he's like, boom, and he shoots him before they can see anything. And he goes back, he's like, wait a second, that was just a shell of a robot. He's never, like, he's had this from the beginning or whatever. But anyways, that could be just the thing you play after the fact. But yes, I like that he shoots a droid and says, look what I found.
Yeah,
you know, we have
a
traitor in our midst. His pitch is like, this is not just a bunch of angry citizens who are trying to blow up our transports. Like, this is a neural. You guys are underestimating them. You guys are being racist. You're just thinking these Gungans are just fucking wild people, like, throwing spears at us. Like, no. This is the fucking neural network. This is the fucking this is the beginning of the resistance. They're talking to Organa. They're talking to all the senators. Give me a week. I will go talk to them. Like,
that's why
evidence.
I delayed the thing.
Yes.
And then
this is the spy hub. This is their spy master hub.
And then yes, then, you know, you can have a thing where Emperor's like, interesting, Darth Vader, how come you didn't know that city was more important than we imagined?
I mean, we kind of already hint. Yes, you're right. In that the previous scene, they were like, yes, the Emperor was like, Croquet was part of this network, right? And then he has the Starbird, the symbol of the rebellion. And they're like, the key leaders of the rebellion are here. We're going to kill them.
Yeah.
And then what Jar Jar's saying is like, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Like, this goes so much deeper and so much bigger
than
you can imagine. He's essentially taking this play from Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
And then he's essentially spitting Qui-Gon's words at the Emperor.
Yes.
And he's like, And so he's like, let me, under the guise of, you know, this execution, I'm going to actually bust Croquet out and we're going to, you know, infiltrate the network and then we can blow them up.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, like,
and if you wanted to plan stuff before, and the way you even, like, hit that, like, on an emotional level with one of them, like, you could have the Emperor always thought Bail Organa would be a great second command or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, even have, like, he hears them arguing. That'd be a fun thing to hear. You know, he's like, I don't think you can trust Bail Organa. It's like, damn it, you know, it's whatever thing. And then, you know, he has, like, you want to know who's a traitor? You want to know Bail Organa's on your side or not? Let me get in there. It's like, yeah, god damn it. Like, yes, Jar Jar needs to go. Give him a week. Jar Jar's got a week. Let's use him as a Gungan. Mm-hmm. Let's use him as a fucking, you know, leader. Like, he's going to go talk to him. He's going to break off Croquet, and he's going to find all our information. And then we can still test the laser and blow them all up when we're done. Like, good.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you have that scene where he's like, thank you. And then he goes to walk away, and then fucking, like, Jar Jar just flies across the room an inch away from the Emperor. He's like, you failed me, though. Oh, shit. Yeah, like, they're also like, yo. Like, last chance, buddy. Don't ever. It would be like, don't ever fucking do something.
Don't ever go rogue again. Yeah. Okay. I'm starting to see it.
Well, that's cool. Now he's in danger. I'm like, he's playing the double agent game.
What's fun is you can play. I feel like you can actually, and like our audience listening knows that he didn't really kill Nate 38, but you can hold on to that Trump card. Because now here's the beautiful thing is no one knows Nate 38's still alive than Jar Jar, right? Like, so that's an ace up his sleeve Nate 38's really still there.
I like that.
Oh, dang. That's the last image of the movie is Nate 38 in a junkyard being like, I want to tell the story of my master. No, but he was a hero as he's getting, like, right? She's getting, like, burned up in the furnace.
Oh, you want
no.
Yes. you want to hang that on as long as possible, as like Darth Vader's like literally running to the scrap heap and like scraps are going into the fire, and like he turns it off and he like picks up, he like finds the robot that was shot and rips it open and looks at the serial code and matches, like, that was an 838.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like
a dumb
Jar Jar's,
yeah,
Jar Jar's played us.
And yes, and then of course, Nate 38's been hiding, waiting. The ultimate question is, so like, how is he going to hack into the big laser to blow it up or whatever, right? Or, you know, like,
oh, and Nate 30, yes.
Yeah, that's how Nate 38 goes out, is blowing
up
the thing.
That's good. Shit, you do need to set up a previous droid. Yes, it'd be like, there's a previous droid and they just switch the places. And so now Nate 38 is like the nuclear scientist droid or whatever.
A lookalike, like a Queen Amidala, perhaps.
I mean, there are just like multiple C-3, it's a droid. there's lots of the
this
same droid.
This is Nate 39.
I just want to throw this out
this
here.
This is a Nate 38, it's Malcolm Gladwell.
That's weird. For all that, there's just like, hey, that's an R5 droid. There's not a single time in Star Wars where two of the same droids see each other. Like, they're like, that's just an R5. He's like, where are all the other R5 units? Like, how come R2
like
never...
R2s? Oh, you mean like an actual...
Like an actual, just, hey, there's another R2 unit.
They have other R2 units.
They're always like different colors and stuff.
You
I mean
like
I guess
another one
them.
That looks just like
yeah,
him.
It's just like,
I don't,
hey, that's another
I don't know what to tell you. It's Star Wars, man. All right, so let me see if I can walk through this. So what we're saying is that Jar Jar is like, he's just finished the speech. He's like, oh, I've been big poodoo now, right? And then they show up,
yeah,
the Emperor and Darth Vader, and confront him now. Or yeah, again, maybe you do kind of like...
I think in that version, you could just cut to, because now you'd probably have, he's in the room and like Nate 38 is in there with him. And they're like, explain yourself. Because mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see him pacing and smoking, like waiting yeah. for the fucking,
oh, that's
you know,
yeah.
the axe to drop. Or something like that. I feel like I want a little bit
of... Oh, I like
a
that. I like, actually, that's really good. Have him pacing. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, Jar Jar's pacing, smoking, waiting for the Emperor and Darth yeah. Vader to hear something. And Nate 38's there, but Nate 38's quiet. He keeps saying, like, just going to sit there, but you don't have anything to say to me. But you're playing yeah, yeah. like, it's just a dumb yeah. enjoy. But it's like, yeah, you're playing. That's just a yeah. fun thing to plan.
Oh, you know what's fun, too, is you see him, like, putting a gun next to the fucking table or whatever. You're like, what is he gonna do with that gun? And then
that's
yeah,
funny.
He's like, we have a spy in our midst. And you're like, what? And then he grabs it, shoots the droid, and then yeah. Okay.
Then he makes that pitch and he essentially explains to them, like, this is more than just a rebellion on this planet. Mm-hmm. They are spying on us. They are talking to us. Like, you want to know who are the senators that are not under your grasp? Mm-hmm. I can go tell you.
Yeah,
I can find
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I can stop the rebellion before it begins. Mm-hmm. Again, same thing that they're essentially, yes. He's selling the same pitch to them. Like, the yeah. Qui-Gon's like, we can stop the Empire before it begins. Yeah, he's like, we can stop the rebellion before it begins. You can do your Godfather moment at the end of this and kill every single senator who doesn't agree with you.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, he does the speech, and then the Emperor's like, all right, but if you ever fucking think for yourself again without talking to me, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, no matter how useful it is.
And then what?
Well, that's the end of that scene.
Do we do it? Then you don't need another... Okay, yes, because essentially, I'm trying to think, do you need another spicy meatball on top of it?
I mean, do they, I think it would be like, do they go straight into like, I guess you got to break out Croke. Now, my question was, does he actually break out Croke, or does he just have an interrogation scene with Croke? Because it feels like they would actually be like, Croke is going to stay in. Like, why would they let Croke out, unless that's part of Jar Jar's plan? Yeah, I could also see where just Croke's in there and he's got to do like, he turns off the camera and like talks to Croke, be like, I need some way for these people to trust me. And Croke's like, I don't trust you. He's like, look, I bought some time, they're gonna kill your whole village, but like, if I can find a way to get your people to blow up the laser, like, I can do this. And Croke,
I think,
is
he needs to break Croke out.
Okay, I mean, that's definitely the most fun.
Again, and I think that the explanation to them is Croke will lead me into the network.
Yes.
And we can really get information out of them before we blow them up.
Yes.
Right? But the only way I can do that is if I bust out Croke. Right?
Okay, that's a fun end of the scene. I think he says, so what, okay, like, you know, Mr. Hotshot, like, what's the next step? It's like, mm-hmm. I need to break out Croke.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and then they all, you know, they nod, they're like, okay, you know, and then he's about to leave, and then the stinger of the scene is he brings him to him. He's like, fucking think for yourself one more time. I'll kill you, Croke, and every single, you know, person on this planet.
All right, hear me out, but okay, one last thing,
yeah,
it would be like, or maybe it's Vader that does it, that grabs him, and then, but what you do is Vader has planted a tracking chip Jar Jar without him knowing.
Oh, that's good.
You know what I mean?
To hear what he's actually saying.
Or like with his, like, a thumb prick has,
oh, that's good, because actually
skin.
I would have, Yes, I would have Croquet find it.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yes, that's good. Croquet like, doesn't believe him. Bug.
Oh,
yeah.
That, I was like, because you need an action. If you're going to do breaking out, you need an action scene. Because you need like a cool breakout. Like, obviously, the Empire's. But I do buy an action scene if the moment Jar Jar breaks out, Croquet fucking beats the shit out of him. He's like, huh, motherfucker, tracking me? And then Croquet starts running. And Jar's like, oh my God. Yeah. I got to get Croquet.
He looks
dead.
And sees Croquet coming. And then he looks and he sees Darth Vader coming around the sword with a fucking lightsaber. He's like, oh no, Vader's going to kill me. He's got to run after Croquet. That's
like,
kind
of
fun.
Like, chasing is like a breakout from Croquet becoming a chase of Croquet is really fun. Yeah. And then, yes, because then the action scene, the stakes are not just going to catch Croquet, he needs Croquet to trust him
at the end
of that action scene. That's cool. We can write that one.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later. Okay, yes. All right. Okay. So then the scene is, okay, yes. He's pacing in his office. They come in. What the fuck, Jar Jar? We have a traitor in our midst. He blasts Nate 38 in quotation marks, reveals that, you know, the star, there's a starboard hidden on the fucking
USB
chassis.
Drive. It's a USB drive.
Yes,
USB
like, you know, like, are my droids been compromised? Like, run the fucking, like, run the diagnostics.
He shoots the droid. He's like, look. And he spins the droid around. And it's just like a crayon drawing. That's a spy, like Jar Jar.
Jar Jar, you've blown this wide open.
Guards take Jar Jar away. He's like, oh no, I tried.
Okay, so that's very fun. Yes. He convinces them, and then the end of the scene is Vader, you know, under the guise of bitching him out for going against the Emperor and going behind his back, plants a bug on him, and then as he's leaving. You know, we see in Darth Vader cam that like Jar Jar is being tracked or something like that.
He can hear what Jar Jar is saying. Jar Jar is like, oh, he's singing to himself. I hope I do a good job. He's like,
fuck,
fucking nerd.
Oh, fuck.
All right, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, the scene.
The scene.
The scene.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is a podcast.
Look, your daughter doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself.
That thing is not my daughter. And I want you to tell me there's a show where the hosts don't just report on fringe science and spirituality, but take part themselves.
Well, there is, and it's Ono, Ross, and Carrie on Maximum Fun.
This year, we actually became certified exorcists.
So yes, Carrie and I can help your daughter.
Or we can just talk about it on the show.
Ono, Ross, and Carrie on MaximumFun.org.
All right, boys, before we jump in, I called a minor audible when I did the scene, when I typed it up.
Yo, you're the QB. I'll run wherever you want me to go, coach. You tell me what to do.
I got rid of Jar Jar shooting Nate 38.
Okay.
It felt like...
Okay.
It was just like... Not because it was too dark or anything. It just started getting really complicated. It was like he had to shoot Nate 38 and explain like what this was and how it resolved back to everything else. It didn't feel very Jar Jar.
So what does he do now?
So basically now he's like, my thought is it's like him playing dumb a little bit. It's just him trying to pitch them on his idea to like, you know, do this execution.
Look, if we've learned anything from Star Wars, if we don't like it, we can just add a gunshot and an alien in later in the special edition. Yeah,
that's
we can just
the special edition will add in Nate 38 wiggling out of the way of a blaster bolt. But
Jar Jar shot first. Nate 38 in the head, whatever. Okay. Great.
Anyway, so try it on for size. We can always fiddle with it later, but let's dive in.
Let's go.
I mean, nothing goes through without Kathleen's go ahead anyway, so let's do it.
Interior Jar Jar's office. Jar Jar paces nervously in his office, a jittery mess.
Yusa can do this. Yusa can do this.
Nate 38's voice chirps in over the intercom.
Governor Binks, the Emperor and Lord Vader are here to see you.
Jar Jar shudders. He takes a deep breath to compose himself, sits down in his chair, and tries to look as casual as possible.
Send them in.
The door slides open. Vader and the Emperor step inside. Jar Jar gives them a wide, goofy grin.
Ah, hello, boyos.
The Emperor glares at him, his voice dripping with icy menace. Governor Binks. Jar Jar puts a sheepish hand to his lips.
Uh-oh. Misa, take it, you saw the press conference. Now, I know what you're used to thinking, but hear Misa out.
He hops to his feet and strolls about the room with a salesman's cheesy flair.
If there's a resistance baddies in the city, Thesa probably know all sorts of things about the rest of Thesa friends. But Wisa can't learn what Thesa know if they're dead. That's when the Misa had a great idea.
He snaps his fingers and a crudely drawn 3D hologram of a mission plan appears in the room. A web of crisscrossing arrows linking cartoon doodles of Jar Jar.
No.
It's must be from Nate 38. Like, he should project it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so we'll change that. Yes.
And it's like straight up baby's first Blender tutorial. Like, it's spheres and pyramids and like really glitchy Z buffering issues.
And it's probably just the Jurassic Park graphic.
A web of crisscrossing cartoon arrows linking cartoon doodles of Jar Jar Croquet, the starboard symbol, the Death Star laser, and an exploding city hover in the air. Jar Jar gestures to this plan's various elements as he explains his cunning scheme.
If Weesa say Weesa going to execute Croquet, they's a gonna try to bust her loose for certain. And if Misa help her escape, they's a gonna trust me. And if they's a trust me, Misa can learn all they's a secrets. Once Misa do that, then Yusa blow them up. Boom!
Jar Jar leans back on his desk and folds his arms and gives Palpatine and Vader a cocky grin.
So, what's Yusa think? Pretty crafty thinking, huh?
Lightning erupts from Palpatine's fingertips into Jar Jar's body. He writhes in agony. You insolent, impudent wretch! You dare defy my commands! Jar Jar twitches as sparking strings of electricity tug him like a marionette. I do not tolerate your existence to hear your thoughts, Governor! I demand obedience! He clenches his hands. The ropes of lightning twist and Jar Jar's own hand seizes his neck. Jar Jar's eyes bulge as the Emperor makes him choke himself. But if you are unwilling to play the puppet, it's time to cut your strings. Jar Jar's frightened eyes turn pleadingly to Vader. Help! Vader's ever-inscrutable mask stares back for a moment, then turns to Palpatine.
Master.
What?
If you kill the governor now, our position will be weakened on Naboo.
Don't talk to me of weakness. I sense your sentimental feelings for this whelp. I should crush him before your eyes.
Make no mistake. If he fails, I will decapitate him myself. But there is sense in the governor's plan. We should learn as much from the resistance as possible. They may have unknown allies in your court.
This last point hits home. Palpatine frowns. Jar Jar's clothes begin to smolder. As you wish, my apprentice. Palpatine releases him. Jar Jar collapses to the ground. Welcome to the big leagues, Jar Jar. Let's hope you've got the moves.
What's the league here? What's the sport? You know what I mean?
It's hyperball or
hyper,
whatever.
Hyper baseball.
You're playing hyper hockey now, Jar Jar. He stalks out of the room. Vader steps up to Jar Jar, who hobbles to his feet.
No, thank you.
Vader grabs Jar Jar by the throat with an iron grip.
Not again.
This is the last time I will sanction your buffoonery. Defy an order again and your life is forfeit. Do you understand? Happy hunting, Governor.
Vader lets him go and swiftly exits the room. The door shuts behind him. Jar Jar gasps with relief. He rubs his throat and gives a tender wince. Close up, but he fails to notice the teeny tiny puncture wound on the back of his neck. Interior palace hallway, day. Vader steps into a turbo lift with Palpatine. He turns around and looks at Jar Jar's office down the hall. POV Vader. His red-tinted combat HUD shows an outline of Jar Jar through the office walls. A little dot blinks on his neck. A message appears beneath it. Surveillance chip active.
Whoa. You're telling me Vader has Terminator vision?
I guess, right? He's got to have a POV.
Yeah.
Do you ever see Vader's POV?
No. I mean, but he's got a helmet. He's got like
to have cool. There's no way Vader doesn't have cool targeting reticles.
At least Google Glass level, like,
he can
AR.
Get his emails.
He's got TikTok. He's just scrolling through TikTok.
I really love for the, I forget what movie, it was some 70s movie when I first saw like a GPS like underneath a car and it was so big. I love the idea that Jar Jar turns around as like a walkie-talkie size like tracker. Like beep, 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 beep. And he's just walking. He's like, man, fucking noise is really loud.
Weird.
Jar Jar, how long have you had this on?
Oh my God.
That works.
Jar Jar's in it now.
He's in deep. So to me, my thought was that it's like, it feels more Jar Jar style for him to just kind of try to sell them on it and maybe play into being the dumb idiot. And then, you know, and you get this moment of Vader kind of like being on his side, but like Vader's doing the deeper play. Like, oh, I think Jar Jar might be working for someone, so I want to track him
and
see
what he
does. What
I like is I do like him shooting Nate 38 and giving them evidence of it, but I think that can be a check. Like, you'll need more than one scene of, like, hey, how's this going? So maybe the next scene, like, I feel like he's going to have to essentially be like, I have proof that this is, like, this is worth me doing at a certain point.
Yeah, so we can figure out where it goes next week. And it was also just, like, doing a droid. It just felt like there was a bunch of new stuff you would have to explain to make that make sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas this felt like you could just essentially roll pretty elegantly from what you just saw. So anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, we're diving. I'm loving this. And Jar Jar's going to. Again, that was all I see. For a little, I was like, oh, man, we're getting a lot. I'm not sure I see where we're going. But I pretty much see the rest of the movie.
Yeah, like,
we're
starting to figure out, but like,
now it's just about like making a rock and roll.
It's all sliding into focus.
It's all coming up. Jar Jar.
Speaking of which, focus on some fan art.
Focus on some
fan art.
Do we
got some fan art, Will?
Indeed, we do. We've got two more bangers from our good friend Story Broke. You can check those out at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, and you'll find tons of great fan art there. Or you can join the discussion over at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. to join our wonderful Facebook group and talk about the show.
Nice. You can also head on over to MaximumFun.org. It's not Max Fun Drive anymore, but you can have a lot of fun at MaximumFun.org, where all the great podcasts are, comedy, culture, all this great stuff on our network. MaximumFun.org. Chad Ellis edits this podcast.
Thanks, Chad.
And that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, more Jar Jar. Getting deep.
I think this is going to be a pretty short script. Like, we're on, what are we, on page 69? Hey, oh, guy, we just hit page 69.
Yeah, nice.
Nice. See you again at page 420.
Nice. Well, this is nice. Freddie saying thanks for listening.
I'm Will, and we're doing it different, so thanks for listening, too.
Hey, everybody, this is Matt Arnold. Hope you had a good podcast. here's a little thing. Do you know that J.J. Abrams is an anagram for Jar Jar Boss? He's close.
That's pretty good.
It's almost Jar Jar.
Close almost. Enough. But not quite. Close, but no Sid Jar Jar.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.